Okay, good morning. How are y'all doing? Some of you might have expected someone else here today, like a Geshe. I'm really sorry to disappoint you. I've been asked to fill in. I got the call like last Saturday or something asking if I could do these two Sundays. So here I am. I'm going to wing it, which is the theme of this whole, these last two Sundays. But how many people are here for the very first time today? Welcome. Awesome. Wonderful. So this is a little different than what usual Sundays are, so please come back. But you'll get a little bit of a flavor, and you'll get to talk to other people here and see what the Kadapa Center is all about. The way we always get started is we set our intention, like, why am I here? Am I here to have a good time, to understand a little bit about Buddhism, to calm my mind, to try to be a happier person? Whatever your intention is, you try to really kind of hold on to that and amp it up a bit. And the way you can increase that intention, just so even when you go to the gym, you have an intention. And the stronger your intention is, the more you'll get from it. So when we think about if I'm able to reach that goal that I came in with today, more and more people around me will feel that, will benefit from that. The calmer I am, the happier I am, the more I know. So your intention can kind of grow like that. And then we always start with a couple of mantras, which I'm going to ask Andre to lead us in. And if this is new to you, it's not like some magic spell we're casting. We're simply saying the words. We're going to repeat two mantras. One is the mantra of compassion. So when we say it, we try to think and hold that feeling and intention of compassion, which it's easier to do these days since you just turn on the news and there's plenty of things to try to help you raise your compassion level. So as we say these words, we can think about how we are repeating the exact same words all the way down the line from a Buddha, unbroken, all the way to our ears, to our mouths. We're also saying something, hearing something, and thinking something all at the same time. So that's the point of it. The point of all of these things, prayers, mantras, is to make your mind and that wish the same thing. All right, so here we go. This is the mantra of compassion.
You can find these mantras if you have your prayer book on page 37. It's in the gold book. The white book, I don't know. We repeat them so they're kind of easy to memorize.
And there's seven times? Or
Eight times.
Eight times.
Chinrezig, seven for Green Tara.
Okay.
I got a deep voice. I'm going to try to go one octave higher so it won't go flat here.
Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Taratu Taratu Re So. 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 Om Taratu Taratu Re So.
Thank you, Andre. And all the kids, I think it's time for y'all to go to your class now, your fun time.
Please make an announcement to any parents who have not enrolled their children in classes. Please follow your children out and take care of that. We have a computer set up for you to be able to do that. Thank you.
And I think there's another announcement. You want to make an announcement? You want to come on up here and make an announcement? Yeah. As you know, one of the reasons why I'm sitting here is because a lot of our Geshe's and a lot of our members are out in Black Mountain right now doing this month-long retreat practice teachings. And They're coming back tonight. Thus the announcement.
I just got an email from Jill Marie a little while ago. If you remember, you get emails, and she asked anybody that can help unload the truck tonight to email her, and she'll give you a time. If you don't get the emails, I guess see one of us, me or you, after the teachings.
Yeah, come and talk to one of, if you're interested in helping today for any amount of time, you would talk to one of them and then kind of meet here at the center at a certain time or at the storage unit to help unload these trucks that have tons of stuff in there. So thank you very much. Okay, so what we're going to do is just take a minute to kind of to meditate. And can you close that door back there so we can be a little quieter? Thank you. And after we just kind of settle our minds for a couple of minutes, I'm going to lead us on a guided meditation. So get into a comfortable position. If you're on the floor, you can sit in a chair, either way. If you're in a chair, just make sure your feet are flat on the floor so your knees are pointing forward. And with your posture, the most important thing is that your back is straight as you can have it. You want it to be so that the vertebrae are just kind of stacked on top of each other like coins, so you're not having to stress a lot with your muscles to hold them in a straight line, but that takes a lot of practice. And one of the reasons for the cushions on the floor, and you can do this in a chair now or at home, is to get your hips a little higher than your knees so that it's easier to keep your back straight. And then if you want to do the typical hand posture, but again, you can have your hands on your knees, your lap, but one way is your left hand right below your navel, your right hand gently on top of it, your thumbs together, just gently like you're holding a piece of paper there. This kind of forces your arms out away from your sides and helps your breathing. Okay, and that's the hand mudra for meditation. And then you tuck your chin just a little bit so that your spine, which continues up your neck, isn't bent at that point. So you tuck your chin, put your tongue at the back of your teeth, your jaw relaxed. You can close your eyes or have them just a little bit open so that light comes in and keeps you alert. And then you put all of your awareness on your breathing, whether it's the sensation of air coming in and out of your nostrils or your abdomen rising and falling. We're trying to gently encourage our mind to rest, to not go running all over the place, which it's still going to try to do. And every time you notice your mind moving away from your count, the counting of your breath, you gently bring it back as though it's your beloved child or pet. You're not harsh with it. In fact, you're so excited that you noticed your mind moving away because that flexes and builds that muscle of awareness and attention that we're going for. So one inhalation, one exhalation is count of one. The next one, inhalation, exhalation is two. And you can go up to 10, you can stop at 5 and start over, whichever is your preference. And as you exhale, try to let go of all extra thoughts, worry, tension, and inhale alertness, calm, focus. I'll just let you do that for a few minutes and I'll ring this bell after we've practiced this for several minutes. I'm going to lead you through a guided meditation. So I want you to pick an idea that you've had. It could be a political idea, philosophical idea, just something that you'll be able to trace back in time. The way that you view anything. Just pick one thing at this point and look at your idea about it now. So say, for example, I look at the way I look at feminism at this point in my life. Pick something like that for yourself. And just look at your thoughts about it right now in time. And then I want you to go back in time a year ago, last September. What were your thoughts about this same topic at that point? And take a look at it. And then go back in time several more years and take a look at it. What events were shaping this idea that you had? What questions did you have? What people around you were influencing this idea? Things you read, events in the world. And go back even farther. And keep going back till you can see all the contributing factors as far back as possible. When your mind wanders, try to gently bring it back to this task. Use everything, all the distractions, that's all just grist for the mill. Just noticing what your mind is doing, but then trying to bring it back to this task of looking at this idea that you've held, the things that have contributed to it. When you've gone back as far as you can, then come to the present moment and imagine going forward in time. It could go in many different directions. Just pick one. Pick a direction this idea could go in. So you might want to pick the best direction. And what are some factors that would contribute to making it better, different, changed? All right, and then come back to the present moment and open your eyes. It's similar to what we did last week when we were actually meditating on a physical building and going back in time and forward in time to see the fluidity of everything, the impermanence of everything, physical, our thoughts, all of this, and what role we play in making those changes. So that's kind of the theme for today. So as, first I should remind everybody who I am. My name is Steep, S-T-E-E-P, or Stephanie. Either one. As I told people yesterday, Geshe-la, who's a teacher, do we have his picture here? He's the one who gave me that nickname. So he used to live in my house when he first came to this country. He lived in my house for about 9 years, and I helped teach him English and how to drive. I taught him how to drive and how to type. Anyway, I thought he was calling me Steve. And I kept telling him, my name's not Steve. And finally I got from him that he was calling me Steep, because steep means to go straight up. But I told him it also means to go straight down. He had only heard one definition of it. So I said, but I'll take that name so that I reminds me over and over, it's up to me. which way I'm going. Just like that idea that I had you meditate on. There's things that will happen that seem out of your control, but there's also a lot that's in your control of how, where you're going to go with that idea. And so when I got called to just come, just go to the center and lead two sessions on Sundays, Steve, okay, I'll wing it. And I thought, well, this fits in perfectly with what's going on in my life anyway, because I was taking some improv classes. And in improv, which I kind of like even the word improv, because one more letter after improv and it's improve, that's all about. It's just about preparing, but then you just got to stand there in front of all these people, and somebody throws out some stuff, and you've got to go with it. And so there's a lot you can do to prepare for anything. You think about your jobs. You think about when a hurricane is coming. You think about all these things. There's a certain amount you can prepare for, and then the rest is just being aware and being ready to use any tool. And I think, at least for me in my day job, the problem is I get kind of in a rut because I think I know what to do when a person says this. Oh, when they say this, it means X, Y, and Z, and then I do that. It doesn't always mean that. And I have to be train myself to be a lot more fluid and on my feet, and that's what improv does. So the way this also ties in is last week we were talking a lot about how, you know, spiritual lessons, dharma, whatever you want to call it, isn't just in this room or in a church or in a temple. That's just the practice part. The rest of it is everywhere you go. And I shared with you something I had heard that really changed my world. And it was not in this room. It was because of things I'd learned in this room, but it was actually in an assisted living facility. And then I feel like I hear it all the time around me. So, for example, what I've written on the board here is not some great Dharma lesson. It's actually the fundamentals of improv. But I think that they all are very similar. So one of the things is use everything. And it's just like, also like when we're meditating. I remember somebody telling Geshe that they were having a hard time meditating because their mother was interrupting them. And he was like, but that's the whole point of meditating, is so that you'd be ready to help somebody who asked for you, not to like, okay, don't talk to me now because I'm meditating. The whole point is that whatever interruption comes, you're ready. You're ready. So you use everything. You learn how to listen in improv because you're so busy thinking about what you're supposed to do next, you really realize very quickly that you didn't hear what the person said. And what the person says is so important. It, just like in all of our lives and everything we do, listening is important. But we often think that listening means we agree. And so in my day job, I'm a mediator. And sometimes I'll ask the people just to tell me what the other person said, and they can't, or because they didn't hear it. But they also think if they repeat it, it means that they agree with it. And we really do end up thinking that. If we tell back, say back to the person, okay, you said this, we think that they're going to think we agree with them. And it's so not true. But it's the fundamental. It's like number one in terms of improv. You really have to be able to really listen well. And then last week we practiced this exercise, which is in improv, you want to say yes to whatever the other person is doing, and then you add to it. So, for example, if you're in a scene and somebody says, okay, this submarine is really large, and you say, we're not in a submarine. Okay, and all you have now is a fight. But if you had wanted to be in an airplane and this person just said, hey, we're in a submarine, you could say, yes, we are. And did you know the submarine knows how to fly? So the whole point is starting with yes, which in terms of the way I look at this as a Dharma message, is that it's about accepting what is. Doesn't mean you have to like it. So last week we talked a lot about the hurricane coming, and there's several more, so we'll talk some more about that. But it's accepting what is, and then what can I do? What can I add? Just like in the meditation you were doing, what can you add to the thoughts that you have to make them go in a direction that you want to go in? That's exactly what's happening in improv every single minute. You start to actually see the effects of your action on this scene. When sometimes it's hard in our own life because we don't see that. We don't get that big picture view. The next fundamental is to support your partner. I love this one phrase that my teacher says, which is, if you make them look good, it makes you look good. So the same is true in our relationships and in all of our ways of being. If we can help this person look good and feel supported, it will come back to make us look good and supported. The same is, this is exactly then in improv. Boy, I feel like an advertisement for my teacher. I should get like, people are going to be asking me, can I take improv? And the other one is to be present. You have to be really in that moment of what you're doing in the scene and not few steps ahead or you'll miss the opportunities that are coming. And so I'd just been talking about this with some folks, and I read this, I have this 365 days in Buddhism or something like that. It's really nice quotes for every single day. And this one quote was saying, if I can keep my mind in the present and not worrying about the past or the future, I've just stopped the war. Stop the war that you got going on in your head. It's so rare that it happens, right? That's why people climb mountains and do all kinds of other risky things. When you ask them why they really like it, they say there's a peace in that moment because their life is on the line that everything else has stood still. All they're focusing on is where their hand goes in that mountain rock or whatever activity they're using. It's usually what they're describing is that the past and the future have stopped, and they're just completely in the zone of whatever it is they're doing. That's fundamental for everything, and certainly, again, for improv. You have to be present. You have to be honest. If you don't really find a way to work with what's going on right in front of you, it all falls apart. Everybody else can see it. Why aren't you seeing it? It's learning how to be brave enough to name the elephant in the room. And there are no mistakes. So whatever is said or whatever happens, it's just part of it. So that's what I was also saying when we were meditating. If you hear kids or somebody's coughing next to you, that's not a problem. That's actually exactly what you need then for your meditation, to see how your mind is going all over the place and to help strengthen it by bringing it back. And then this is one of my favorite things, which is one thing leads to another, whether it's here, it's our lives with the meditation that you were just doing, or it's an improv. One thing leads to another. So I'm going to have us play some games. And we'll kind of test this out and see how it goes and try to make that connection then to our own lives and how this works in our lives and spiritually as well. So there's this one really, I'm going to get you into some groups to try some of this, and then instead of me telling you, me standing up here talking to you forever, you can talk to each other and figure out, well, how does this apply? And draw some of your own conclusions. All right, so, okay, here's one thing we're going to do right off the bat. Andre and I'm going to pass a clap to him. He has to pay a lot of, we're both going to try to clap at the same time. You stand up? So we're not going to say anything, but we have to look at each other and figure out when we're going to clap so that it may not work, right? But we're going to try to make our claps be at the exact same moment, okay? Close, right? And then, so we're going to do that. Then he's going to turn to the next person, and we're going to try to pass this clap. At the same time, I'm going to have somebody in the back do it. You're going to turn to your partner. You're going to try to get ready. And you just look at them and try to find, okay, clap together. And then you turn that person, then turns to the next one, and pass that clap around while this clap is going this way. And somewhere it'll meet in the middle. Okay? All right. So now you pass to him. Okay, so yeah. You want to turn to him and try to pass the clap, and then he's going to turn to you and on down. Now, can you come up here and pass it up here? We're missing them. Can you come up here? Come on up here, because they're clapping back here, and we've missed this whole chunk. Awesome. Thank you. Wow. You got both, you got set claps on both sides of you? All right. Okay. You're right in the middle then. Thank you. That was amazing to watch. I've never seen it done in a large group. But you know, it's exactly like what I was saying when we say this mantra. It's something that's come down from generation to generation in this unbroken chain to then us saying it. You just kind of saw the same thing on a very fast scale. All right. So I need like five people to come stand up here. It's not going to be embarrassing. You're going to just say one word. That's it. And Trip, I know you want to do this. Okay. I think I made it too hot in here. Okay, so we got Trip. You want to, oh, awesome. Okay. We need, oh man, great. Okay, we got our team. All right, and tell us your names.
Kevin.
Lori.
Kirsten.
Andre, and Trip. Okay. All right, so what we're going to do is, this is the whole thing about one thing leads to another. We're going to have them tell us, they're experts. They are experts. We're going to pick a topic that they're experts on. Give me a topic.
Car washing.
Okay. They are expert car washers. And they are going to tell us their story about this one word at a time. All you have to make sure is that it's grammatical. So if you say the, then you shouldn't say the. Okay? So there's not a lot of pressure on any one of you. And there's no mistakes.
Any word,
I mean, make it fit, like it can be double the. And if it's a period, then you say period, and then you start the next sentence. Okay? And we'll just...
Will it go this way and then back, or this way?
That's a good way. Yeah, let's go this way and then back. Okay, so after you go, then Lori? Right, Lori. Kirsten will start.
Oh, okay.
Okay? All right, start us off.
Yesterday.
I soapy?
I'm sorry.
I soaped.
Yeah.
Soaped? Okay, I soaped.
The
car.
In the
backyard.
It was
fun.
And challenging.
But the
dog got
crazy.
Period. Aren't they experts? Aren't they amazing experts? Okay. So, what I want you all to do is to get into a group of four experts. It'll be easier because there'll just be four of you. One will be the interviewer, and the other three will be experts at something, anything, could be car washing. And you're going to try this as well, okay? So, it'll be a little bit easier because there'll just be three of you going around and one person asking the question. All right? Make sense? Okay. Thank you very much. So grab four people and move if you'd like to. And you might move your chairs. And remember, you're using everything. Okay, and I will flash the lights when we're done. Okay? I'll flash the lights when we're done. You have... Okay, so first of all, everybody, pick your interviewer. Pick who's going to interview. Yeah, like say you're the interviewer, and you ask them a question, and they go around and give the answer. And they're experts at something. So pick your expertise. Yes. It can be about anything. So say they're car washing experts.
They're meditation experts.
Okay, you could just say, you could ask them anything you want about it.
Okay.
They don't have to be, you know, correct. They just have to have sentences.
Okay. What's the best one?
Thank you. Oh, okay.
The first question would be,
so,
Now actually you can switch. So now you're the interviewer.
Okay,
you can switch interviewers. After you've done it one round, you can switch so the interviewer gets to be one of the know-it-alls.
It's kind of funny because
so feel free to switch. You can have a new interviewer. New area of expertise. Okay. How did that go? Any questions? Okay. Everybody get to go around? Okay. So this time, I want you to just get into a pairs because you're going to do a shorter story. And I want you to do, we did this a little bit last week, but someone's going to say something, and then you're going to say yes to it, and then you're going to add something. So we can do an example for them. Can you give me your mic? Yes, and. So that means I'm going to agree with her, and I'm going to add something to it. You want to just say anything?
Let's go to the movies.
Yes. And I'd like to bring some friends.
Yes, and snacks.
Snacks are good, yes. Let's bring a lot of snacks. And then afterwards, let's go for a nice long walk.
Yes, and go camping.
Camping, awesome, yes. And stop at REI and buy this brand new tent that I'd really like.
Yes, and try it out in the store.
Yes, so like that. You can go to the moon if you want, okay? You can do anything. This person is going to say yes, and they're going to add something. So it's time to just completely play and have fun with this, but also see how, if you want to change the direction of it, how are you going to say yes and kind of move the direction? Maybe you want to go camping, yes, and I'd like to bring my own bed. Oh, great, you know? Or I'd like to bring the tent into the Holiday Inn, whatever you want to do. Okay? So get into pairs and spend like a minute or two doing that. Okay?
Yeah.
did that go?
Yes. And I love being around
Somebody said something funny back here. Okay. Well, I gotta tell you. Agreement looks really good. Agreement looks really good from up here. Whatever you all are agreeing to, it goes well with you. So now, if you're still close to your groups of four, take a minute talking about how this applies to anything. When do you say yes and? How do you think this message applies to anything in your daily life? Try to make that thought leap. Try to wrap up your conversation. Try to wrap it up.
I'm just an air horn.
I need. Okay. Any thoughts that you want to share with the larger group?
My wife and I would have had a much better first. My wife and I would have had a much better first 3 or 4 years in our marriage if I'd known yes and.
Yes and, okay.
I know yes dear.
Yes dear. We're using the mic because some people are at home watching, so that's why. If you're really uncomfortable, I'll just repeat what you're saying. But.
No, that's fine. No, I took the same thing as marriage.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's sometimes it's better just to agree with them, and if you want to have your idea in it, just to add to it, instead of trying to like make it your own and just have that argument and disagreement starting from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, sometimes you just go the yes route.
Okay.
Yeah.
So agreeing to what exactly?
Agreeing that
that's that person's idea?
Yeah. Like, say...
Not trying to change.
She wants to go do this, and it's maybe not exactly what I want to do, so I'm like, yeah, we can do that, then maybe we can go...
Okay.
Eat at this restaurant, because that's what I want to do, so we can get... both of our ideas.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, finding the way to do both, to accommodate both, rather than, you know, we're so often just looking out for, well, I really want to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, I'll bring it back.
I think it can also be a very elegant way of saying no. Just by bringing the discussion around to a different point. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to agree.
Exactly.
It just means that you have to carry the conversation forward in a positive way.
Yeah. That's very well said. I mean, we have to say no so many times. I mean, we can't say yes to everything. This doesn't mean that this is just a fun kind of goofy way of practicing it, because we so don't do it. But yes, just like listening doesn't equal agreeing, we can finesse this as adults to meaning, yes, I got what you want. Yes, I hear you. And this is what I think is important. And so this is, as a mediator, what I'm doing all the time. In fact, when I train mediators, what I tell them is they are always going to be the no or the yes but. As the mediator, you have to hold the space of the yes and, which means I'm hearing what this person wants and I hear what this person wants. And now something else is going to emerge from these two divergent opinions. Okay. Yeah. Can you just pass that to him?
I also wanted to agree and add something to that. What Chris and I were talking about is that we were discussing with our children. It's a great way for an opportunity to acknowledge and to bring yes to an opportunity where we're really saying no.
Right.
And I just wanted to add that.
Yeah. Last week, actually, when we were talking about this, we started with a yes but. And these two women and their daughter were sitting there. And later they told me they were really trying to figure out how to say yes and more often, because they realized as they were doing the exercise that their whole parenting time is really just yes, but, yes, but, yes, but you can't, yes, but. And how to still set limits and say no, but in a way that receives what this child is saying, you know. Tricky, tricky, tricky. This is why we're doing it just kind of in a fun, goofy way. But, yeah.
Just had a question. I'm not trying to be contrary.
Sure.
But. But, yeah. Aren't there times when you have to say no but?
Of course.
And
oh,
so
my
that
God.
Can be a positive thing, too, right?
Yeah.
If someone's views are really outrageous, like, let's say, racism or something like that, you know.
Yeah. Right. Now, so we're going to practice this one, too. We did this last time. There's a lot. I mean, most of the time we're walking around with no. So saying yes doesn't mean that you agree with the person, but it does mean accepting the reality of, like, okay, the hurricane's coming. It is coming. And here's what I'm going to do about it. You know, same thing like with whatever injustice is going on. Yes, this did happen. Doesn't mean I'm agreeing with it, but I see it now for what it is, and this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So
one of the things that I think that really spoke to me with what Chris said was that she said finding a way to say yes. And that's what really spoke to me, was that she said finding a way to say yes. Because I think so often, so many times, I'm always saying no to my children, especially.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. And I'm never really acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes a very heavy hand.
Mm-hmm.
But in this aspect, I'm able to acknowledge them. And I'm able to find a way to say yes. And so I think that's the greater point. Because there's certainly times where you need to say no. But if there's a way that we can find a way to say yes and acknowledge them,
right.
I think that's the great
right.
aspect of that.
Well, and also, this is about collaborating. This is about building a scene. And so if you're not always building a scene with somebody who's trying to destroy a scene. That's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
But here, we're starting with, like, these are people that we're wanting to build a scene with. How do we build a scene with people and include their ideas? Or how do we say yes and, you know? There's so many times we're going to need to say no, we need to draw a line. But you want to say something?
I was just kind of redundant, but I was in a situation in high school, and these two guys were from different cultures, and they were kind of, like, going back and forth. But then, like, it just kind of dissolved, because the guy was like,
yes, and you have big ears. And he was like, yes, and you have a big nose. And then they kind of were like, okay. And it, nothing came of it because it was almost like they talked it out. Mm-hmm. It's a little different than if you say, Kevin, you got big ears. And I'm just like, what? Uh-huh. Oh, no. How dare you call me big ears? And I'm kind of like, mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. But they kind of, it's the funniest thing I ever seen. And it really happened where they...
It just diffused it.
Yeah, they just diffused it by saying, yeah.
Right.
And
right.
You have big feet, you know, and it just kind of went away. You know,
right.
Rather than, like, as soon as someone says I have big ears, I got to be like, whoa.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why you got to do that, you know.
Well, let's try this. In your group of four, and if there's groups that are smaller than four, there's some groups that are larger than maybe, like, send somebody over to that smaller group. I want you to just do one or two rounds in that group of a no. So someone's going to say... And you're going to have to add to it. If you just say no, there's nothing for the other person to say no to. So if somebody says, let's go camping. No, I'd really much rather go sailing. And then the next person passes it around the circle. No, I don't want to go sailing. I'd really like to go listen to some music. No, music is much too expensive. No, it's not. And go around in a circle. Does that make sense? So you're just going to go around your circle saying no.
Without a
but. And then I'm going to flash the lights. And you're going to do a yes, but. So you can do the same thing, but now it's yes, but, blah, 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 whatever the issue is. You can do a trip. You can do that you're planning an event. You can do that you're planning a big party. Something like that. Pick one thing that you're going to talk about so that you have some starting point. And so the first, it shouldn't take long. So the first round is just a flat out no, but you add something to it. Pass it to the next person, okay? So you're a team. You're trying to plan a trip. You're trying to plan a wedding. You're trying to plan a party. And everything the partner on your left says, you say no and pass it to the person on your right. And around you go until I flash the lights, and then you do a yes, but. Make sense? Okay. Start. Now we do the but. Now you do no, yes, but. Yes, but. Whatever. And you can move away from food. You can do whatever.
Just bring their own. You can play the
role. They're on the new wedding. So maybe next time.
Yes, but.
Okay. All right, how did that go? All right. Did you make any progress? All right. Last week, excuse me. Last week when we did the first one, some people, you know, and I totally agree, saying no is so much better than saying yes, but. It feels better. Just saying no, I'm not doing that. Right? The yes, but can feel so passive-aggressive. and so draining because it's like you're halfway there, but and the no, actually people said it felt kind of energizing. And then the yes and felt just like let's be goofy, let's have fun. Let's be creative. So one of the things that the yes and is supposed to just help us is look for options, look for opportunities, that we miss that so much. So sometimes at my job, you know, there's 45 other mediators and they often have a lot of ideas and I'm often in the position of just saying no. Of course, I will have to say no to a lot of them. But it's also if I can find a way to maybe take that idea and do something with it, you know, they're going to feel a yes from that. So it's kind of like how do you, maybe it's not just a flat out yes you're giving somebody, but it's still everything else is receiving them. That's what listening is. Listening is receiving somebody, right? All right, any other thoughts about the yes and, or did you want to leave it on that yes but? Yeah.
I didn't really like yes but.
Right.
Because it almost made me internally feel like I'm not being true to myself.
Uh-huh.
Rather than just say, no, that's not what I want. It almost felt, excuse my French, but BSing somebody.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It didn't make me feel good. So I like the yes and and the no better.
Right. Those are more honest.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so just the point of, I mean, we get to practice, well, some of us get to practice no a little bit more, but we hardly ever get to practice this way of how do you incorporate something else into something that you're going to build as a group. Okay, last one. You just do with a partner. This is going to be different than the yes and or the no's or anything. You're going to tell a story. So your partner is going to give you the title for your story. And you want to practice this one with me? Okay. Can you give her the mic? All right, so I'll be on the spot. You give me a title. And then what's going to happen is as I'm telling the story, remember, there's no mistakes. It can be as goofy. But I can take my time. I can slow it down. And you can really listen, and then you throw in any word that you want, and I have to incorporate it into the story. It's just to help me keep sharp, think on my feet. Again, it doesn't have to make sense. So you tell me the title of my story.
The Three Little Pigs.
Oh, okay. The Three Little Pigs by Steep. I was driving to the center this morning, and I saw the first little pig next to the fairground on a leash. And this guy was walking.
I actually saw that pig this morning. She's not lying.
Okay, so then you can just throw in words. So that was the first little pig on a leash.
Cupcake.
And his name was Cupcake. So cute and pink with white icing on his back. It was the cutest thing. So I couldn't wait to see the next little pig.
Bacon.
And right around the corner, there he was. His name was Bacon, which I hope doesn't mean what's going to happen to him in his life. So, you know, I jumped out of my car to tell that guy that was a really bad name for his pig, you know, because I had, yeah. So actually this job
tree
is turning out to be harder than my job, right? But I'm now thinking I'm going wild with this story, okay? So that's what I want you to do. You can throw in the words faster or slower, but, you know, you're supporting each other. So I'm not saying, and I don't want to do the three pigs, you know. Just go with whatever comes into your mind and run with it and then have this other word come in. Okay. So you have about, and then switch roles. So take about 2 or 3 minutes for each story. 3 or 4 minutes for each story. Okay? Any topic. Go. Sorry to interrupt the stories. Look like y'all had a lot of good stories going. Well, I appreciate you tolerating my improv with Dharma this morning. To me, some of those exercises are like magic because they for me, they illustrate exactly what Geshe-la is talking about to us all the time. I think one of the most profound things I heard him say, which I just meditate all the time, is you are the creator of your next moment of happiness. It's not coming from something outside of you. We often think it is, but you are the creator of your next moment of happiness. That doesn't mean that we have to be Pollyanna-ish and ignore what awful things are happening in front of us. But we are also contributing. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? How is this going to affect us? That we are more creators than we think we are. And so these kinds of games to me just show me and kind of loosen up that whole creative spirit. So if you do any kind of artwork, you know you've got to kind of loosen up that whole vibe first of all. We're all artists. We're all contributing to our mind stream every moment. And it's these kind of exercises that I think kind of plant that seed to then go out in the day and see, well, what am I going to do with this that just came my way? I had no idea this was going to come my way. What am I going to do? What are my choices? This improv teacher will stand in front of us and he'll say something and he'll ask for each of our different responses to it. And he'll say, see, each of those responses is valid, but it's each a different way that the tennis ball came back to him. So he stood up there and he said, oh, I'm so tired of holding in my gut. Okay, so one person said, oh, you're not fat. Another person said, why are you worried about that? I said to him, oh, that sounds exhausting. And he said, so each response is completely fine. It just means it's a different thing that came to me. So each way you even think about what's coming your way, each way you put something out into the world, they are leading to something else. So one thing leads to another. And it's worth it to try to get that big picture view of our lives, of our thoughts, of our history in order to see that kind of river of consciousness that we are. And we are the keeper of this moment of our river. So I often liken our mind stream, our consciousness, which is beginningless and endless, as this river. And if you've ever been in New York and you look down one of those streets and saw like the East River through all the buildings, you just see this little piece of water. If you didn't know that that was a river, you might think that's it. There's this one block of water over there. Then you watch it for a while and you might see a boat come through and you go, oh, it's actually more than just this little piece. So it's kind of like that. You know, we identify with this little piece of our river without seeing that big picture view. So if we can use logic to see, oh, there's more than just this. There's more than just steep in this river of consciousness. But I am the keeper of this river of consciousness now. I can clean it up. I can put a lot of garbage in it. I can put gold in it. I could dye it green. There's all kinds of things I can do with it. Yes, I've inherited some stuff that may not be making me always happy, but I have so much power at this point to do something with that river. And that's the whole point to me of spiritual lessons, is to empower me to do something to move this forward. And as this moves forward in a positive direction, all the other people around that river will also benefit. So learning how to keep my mind going in the right direction is so worth it. So worth everything I'm exposed to. Every improv class, every mistake, every little piglet I see, every little thing is just something that I can work with. And of course I have to give myself lots of pep talks along the way, but that's what this is all about. So we're going to end with the way last week we were doing these. We said these mantras that they've been doing at Black Mountain together as a group. This mantra is the mantra to basically reduce the suffering of natural disasters. And we've got a lot of natural disasters kind of going on around us. We had a pretty good discussion last week about why we would want to do this. And I thought a lot about that conversation. And it goes along the lines of what I was just saying about what you're putting into your mind stream. There's this story I read about this Chinese monk who had to escape China a long time ago, came to this country during the Cultural Revolution, lived in Woodstock or somewhere, and then was able to go back to China, and he wanted to rebuild this small monastery that he'd been a part of in his youth. And so there he was in China rebuilding this monastery, and his friends there were telling him, you're being ridiculous, you know, that they're just going to tear it down again. And he said, well, then that's their karma. To tear it down. That's what they're putting in their mind stream, is to tear it down. What I'm putting in my mind stream is to build it. So he could see beyond that building. He saw what what he was doing was creating karmic seeds that were going to ripen at some point in the future. And building that monastery, that's what he was most concerned about. If somebody else is going to tear it down, that's their business, and that's what they're going to have to live with. So similarly, when we're saying these mantras, we're putting something in our mind stream about the hurricanes that are kind of headed this way, the thing about the fires. It's going to benefit our mind streams to be wishing something positive for other our fellow beings on this planet. So Brian's going to put it up here, and you'll hear them say this, and then, you know, we'll just sit for a couple of minutes. We'll try to. Is this the part, Brian, where it's slow in the beginning, or is it? Okay, yeah, I think it starts slow. So if you don't want to say it, that's totally fine. You can just listen. You can meditate. We're only going to do this for a few minutes. And as you're saying it, if you are saying it, then you're trying to also generate that feeling of wishing the best for everybody who is dealing with natural disasters on the planet. Okay.
Pasha Bhavita Amoga Vasha Sattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Haratsara Maha Pasha Maruta Amoga Vasha Sattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Haratsara Maha Pasha Maruta Amoga Vasha Sattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Aratara Mahapasha Maruta Amoga Vajrasattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Aratara Mahapasha Maruta Amoga Vajrasattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Haratsara Pahapasha Maruta Amoga Vajrasattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Haratsara Mahapasha Maruta Amoga Vajrasattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Haratsara Pahapasha Maruta Amoga Vajrasattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Haratsara Mahapasha Maruta Amoga Vajrasattva Swaha Om Sumbani Sumba Haratsara Mahapasha Maruta Amoga Vajrasattva Swaha Om Bani Sumba Haratsara Pasha Swaha.
Okay, awesome. Thank you all. So take a minute to, you can close your eyes if you want. Actually, who are you going to say which page is it on? Okay, well, while he's looking, we say a dedication prayer at the end. I want you to take a minute to think about the effort it took you to get here today. You know, this is a day off from work for most of us. You spent time getting here. You contributed. You shared your energy, your thoughts, your questions. 246, okay. So think of all of the seeds, the positive seeds that you just created by your actions, by your thoughts, by your speech, by helping each other, by thinking about these things. These are not lost. And so the point then is to dedicate these positive actions in the best way that you can so that they ripen to help you and your mind stream attain complete enlightenment for your sake and for all of those around you, those you know, those you don't know, those you like, those you don't like, so that the entire planet and all the beings benefit And so with that in mind, we say this prayer on page 246? Okay. I already put that away. Oops. I'm going to have Andre close this out since he has this nice deep voice and he started us off.
Again on page 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
Okay, thank you all. Hope you have a wonderful day.